views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call. Take the leap with Rudy Racine as you listen to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series. This show targets anyone looking to advance their careers and further develop their leadership skills. Rudy Racine is a certified coach, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and the founder and CEO of Higher Learners. In this show, Rudy will introduce listeners to professionals and executives in a variety of industries while discussing the challenges that tend to stand in the way of career growth and advancement. Learn how to craft your personal definition of success with the right mix of focus and motivation. Higher Learners is putting minds to work.
So hello, everyone. Welcome to the Higher Learners Leadership Podcast Series. This is your host, Rudy Racine. I want to welcome you to today's episode, which focuses on growing into a leadership position. Our guest today is Mr. Bob O'Neill. Bob is an independent leadership development and coaching consultant with over 20 years of experience in both the corporate and academic field. He has taught leadership development at Boston College as an adjunct professor for 12 years for their MBA programs. He's also been an HR business partner at the Bayer Corporation, and he's managed a variety of leadership development programs, including the Leadership Development Centers, the Future Leadership Development Centers, and the Women's Unlimited programs. Bob's specialty is helping leaders identify and further develop high potential talent in the organization and then coaching them to success. And Bob is certified to deliver the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator and the Predictive Indicator Assessment Tools. In addition, he's also an experienced and certified Franklin Covey Time Management Trainer. Bob, I want to say thank you for agreeing to come on our show and welcome to the Higher Learners Leadership Podcast Series.
Rudy, thank you very much for inviting me. This is a wonderful opportunity because I get to talk about something that I am just absolutely passionate about, and it's growing, helping individuals grow into leadership positions. So thank you very much for the invitation. I'm thrilled to be here.
It is my pleasure, my friend, my pleasure. So, Bob, I guess what I first want to start out with is, you know, for every guest that comes on our show, leadership is a subjective topic, right? It's a word that many people have different definitions for. So my first question to you, Bob, is just tell me, how would you define the term leadership?
Well, it's very interesting in that I think that you actually are leading me right into what it is that I wanted to talk about. Because what I did today was I did a Google search of the term, what is leadership? And I came up with 416 million hits.
Wow.
So I think that you framed this very well in that leadership is indeed very subjective. So from my point of view, what I look for from a leader is I'm looking for someone who is going to inspire me and empower people to achieve greatness. So I like to keep the definition pretty simple because everybody is going to be looking for something different from leaders at different times in their lives, different times over the course of the year, and maybe, Rudy, even at different times over the course of a day.
I heard you say that a leader is meant to inspire and empower to achieve greatness. Those are the two that really stood out to me, Bob. So,
yes.
How does a leader do that?
There are a lot of different ways for a leader to do that. But what I look for is for someone to develop very strong relationships with others in the organization and to really create a foundation of trust in the organization. Because without trust and confidence, individuals won't be willing to take risks. And without risks, there is no change. And without change, organizations and movements or whatever a leader is trying to develop and move forward towards is simply not going to be successful. So there are so many different ways for people to actually move forward in leadership. So one of the foundations of leadership that I have practiced and I've taught for years, and it's really become a movement, Rudy, is the whole concept of emotional intelligence. People now refer to it as EQ, emotional quotient. So that's one of the things that I look for leaders to really focus on for their further development. So, for example, when I taught leadership development at Boston College, I looked at a few different areas, but one of the things that I found there and then also at Bayer was really that leaders who really understood the whole concept of emotional intelligence and practiced it on a regular basis were incredibly successful.
So you mentioned that high level of emotional intelligence. So genuine leaders, or a leader that has that authentic approach with their staff and is able to kind of show that they care, oftentimes they tend to come off as being more successful. So what exactly would you say a successful leader looks like to you that has the ability to show that high level of EQ?
The first thing and the most important one, Rudy, is to have a high level of self-awareness. And that high level of self-awareness is the ability to read and understand your own emotions and to recognize the impact on work performance, relationships, etc. And even more important than that is the ability to have an accurate self-assessment and a realistic assessment of someone's strengths and limitations. And then third, under self-awareness, it's a real strong and positive sense of self-worth. The other element of emotional intelligence, the one that's absolutely critical, the one that's actually usually most visible in the workplace, is self-management or self-regulation, the ability to control and keep disruptive emotions and impulses under control. Conscientiousness, the ability to manage yourself and responsibilities. So over the course of my career, one great derailer that I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen and the people who will be listening to the podcast have seen, are individuals who may have a strong level of leadership, but the ability to keep their emotions under control will derail them. There's one of the other elements of emotional intelligence is having a high level of social awareness, strong levels of empathy, the ability to sort of sense other people's emotions, the ability to read what's going on in an organization. And then also the last one that I wanted to talk about are people who have a high level of emotional intelligence. And the people who are listening to the podcast can calibrate this right now as we discuss it, are people who have a real high level of social skills. They have the ability to really influence individuals. They have a passion for developing under other individuals, and they have exceptional communication skills. So, for example, leaders in the workplace who have that powerful executive presence, and it's very difficult to define, understand, but people know it when they see it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like when people have that executive presence, they have the ability to really influence people, and people are more willing to follow those individuals who have those strong social skills. And these also, finally, these individuals build magnificent networks within the organization. These are the people, Rudy, who know exactly who to call and who to contact inside the organization or outside the organization in order to get advice and support.
So, Bob, you mentioned so many great things for our listeners, who many of which are aspiring leaders. They want to be in those roles and in those different leadership positions. You talked about having self-awareness, having social awareness, recognizing their strength, being able to manage themselves, and having those social skills. Bob, if I'm an aspiring leader, I'm not in that position yet. What am I doing to develop those skills and enhance them further to get to that position where I feel confident in my abilities?
Okay. there are a few ways to do it, but here's the way that I found really works. It's to look around the organization, okay, and find a role model, someone whom you admire in the organization. Sometimes it's not even a high-level leader. It might not be the CEO or the CFO. It might be a manager. It might be another leader in the organization. But to look around and find role models in the organization and watch them and find out what is it that they're doing that is making them successful in the organization. That's one thing. The other is, I call it, find a trusted advisor, a role model, a mentor in the organization. But the concept that I like to promote and to encourage people is to find a trusted advisor, someone whom you can open up to, be honest, and very importantly, is going to provide you honest, direct, and sincere feedback on what are some of your strengths and what are some of the things that you need to work on in order to become a more effective leader.
So I love that you said, you know, to find a role model and to find a trusted advisor. And as someone, you know, in my career, growing in my career, there were a number of individuals that I considered to be successful. But sometimes, you know, as a professional, sometimes when you're working in a company, it's easy to get fooled, right? So You have that employee that has the great personality, but their performance may not be that great, or their sarcasm might be a little excessive. And they get along very well with team members. They're the cool leader, but they may not be the best role model or trusted advisor. How do you weed out the professionals above, those leaders above, that might not be giving you the best advice or might not be setting the best example?
There are a few different ways to do it, and I'll share a few different stories.
Sure.
One way is to seek out the advice of others in the organization and just share with others whom you also trust. Mm-hmm. Here's someone I admire and trust, and here are the reasons. I am observing this person doing X, Y, and Z. What are your thoughts about this individual? What do you see as this individual's strengths or weaknesses? And is there something that I'm missing? And I suggest that, Rudy, because we all have blind spots, right? Mm-hmm. So one of our blind spots might be we are seeing somebody in an organization, and for some reason or other, we think that person is just simply magnificent. But we only see that person during a slice of the day or a slice of the month. We don't see that person on a regular basis. So I always recommend to seek out the advice of others. I'll give you an example. When I taught leadership at Boston College, one of the exercises that students had to do was they had to write a paper about a leader in the workplace, could be a great leader, could be a bad leader, about a leader. And they always thought that the exercise was writing about that person, but it wasn't. And we discussed it after they delivered the assignment. The exercise was really about developing their observation skills and going out to other individuals in the organization and seeking out the advice and getting feedback from other people. And I would say about 25% of the time with the students who really did the assignment well, what they found was, Bob, when I went out, the good news was I talked to a lot of people. And I heard consistent messages, and I heard something even more. Okay.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I heard a little bit more, which is what I really wanted to hear, Rudy, mm-hmm. was, you know, when I went out and I talked to people, it opened my eyes because they brought things to light that I had seen, but I had interpreted it a little bit differently because I had blinders on.
Mm.
Does this make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think oftentimes we look at life, we look at our careers and our professions from, you know, it's almost like we have a set of sunglasses on and they have blue shades. So I see everything blue, right? but it's important to talk to other professionals because they may see things from a different perspective. And by having those conversations, it sounds like it opens up, you know, it'll open up our eyes to what the ideal leader looks like. So yeah, it makes complete sense.
Okay.
You talked about just finding those role models, increasing your awareness and getting those trusted advisors, in hopes of developing that self-awareness that you described, that social awareness. What else can I do, as an aspiring leader to build on those skills, those characteristics that you defined earlier?
Okay. Now, here's what I want everybody who's listening to the podcast to do. And this is not rocket science. Okay. The recommendations aren't rocket science. Putting it into practice, this becomes a little bit more difficult. There is a magnificent leader in the coaching arena. His name is Marshall Goldsmith. And he's a real strong proponent of seeking feedback. So, you know, in this day and age, everybody goes out and they'll ask for feedback. But for people who really want to develop their leadership skills, this is an area, Rudy, that they just have to focus on. So, for example, in a lot of organizations right now, a lot of organizations have tools called a 360 feedback tool. And it can be done either internally or externally. But I always encourage people to actually do a 360 within the organization to be able to get honest and sincere feedback from their manager, from peers and colleagues, to collect this information, to get a better idea, again, of what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. And then what happens with a lot of people is that if they go out and do that 360 feedback, or even if they just go out and talk to people in their organization and ask these two basic questions, Rudy, I'm trying to develop my leadership strengths. Okay. Help me understand, what are some of the things that I do really well? Question number one, pretty simple, right? Mm-hmm. Question number two, what is it that I could do to be even more effective? And now what people are doing is you're creating an inventory of information. Mm. And then, and this is the key to success, is what people will often do is they're going to come up with a list of 12 or 13 items to work on. And I've managed and delivered leadership development programs at Bayer, at Boston College. And I've always told people, focus on three or four areas for improvement, and that's it.
That is excellent advice. There's actually a really good quote by Norman Vincent Peale that is similar to what Marshall Goldsmith recommends. It says, mm-hmm. The trouble with most of us is that we would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. So how does that resonate with you?
That is brilliant and right on target. Along the concept of feedback, and I've done this throughout my career, one of the challenges that we have in feedback, people think of feedback as critical. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's constructive criticism. It's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. In the work that I've done at Bayer Corporation, as an independent coach, and at Boston College. And this is the hardest thing to do, Rudy. So for people who are listening to the podcast, this is essential, is that we need to change our mindset about feedback. Okay? That feedback isn't positive or negative. It's not constructive feedback. Feedback is invaluable information. So you could use it to help develop your strength, or you could use it to apply to an area for further development. So what I always advise people to do when I try to get them to break through here, Rudy, mm-hmm. is to think about feedback like this. If you had some invaluable information that you had that you knew would help somebody else, would you be willing to share it?
Wow.
The answer is always what?
Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely. So that's what I, so if you had a piece of information, so then it's always, if you think somebody else had some valuable information that would help you become more successful, would you be willing to ask for it?
And that's a yes question as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, here's one of the things in the model that I want to encourage people to follow is that what people will do now, and this is essential to developing leadership skills and becoming more effective. So I want to spend a little bit of time on it. Mm-hmm. Is that people will go out, they'll get the information, they'll ask for feedback, they'll learn a little bit about it. But then the real key to success is to follow up with the individuals and find out, how am I doing? So I'll just give you a quick example.
Yeah.
If you want to work on your presentation skills, for example, mm-hmm. Because you have some feedback, that's great. Okay, so now you want to work on your presentation skills. So then the next step is, you have a few trusted advisors in the organization who may see you make a presentation. So here's, and this is absolutely essential. So for example, if you have, say, two peers who are going to see you do a presentation, you can let them know in advance, you folks are going to be at my presentation later on today. Mm-hmm. Here are three things that I'm working on. Would you give me some feedback to let me know how I did after the presentation? Mm-hmm. This is a step that a lot of people forget about. Then you can go back, get some additional feedback, and then you can find out from your trusted colleagues, hey, here's something that you did very well. Here's something that you might want to focus on to become even more effective in the future. And then to continue that whole process, but without making yourself a royal pain in the butt about it.
So,
and then that continues the whole growth process.
So I'm thinking of different staff members that I've managed throughout the years. And I know confidence tends to be an issue in some cases, right? So where they want to be a leader, but they may be struggling to kind of envision themselves. They may be questioning whether they're cut out to be a leader. And in some of those cases, those individuals are maybe a little bit hesitant to ask for feedback because their confidence is already wavering. And if they hear something that they don't like, it may crush their confidence. So what would you tell someone that's questioning whether they're cut out to be a leader?
Thank you. That's a great question. And I just want to go back to a few of the concepts that we've already talked about.
Yeah.
Because, again, I want to go back to one of the basic concepts that I've already mentioned, that this isn't really rocket science at all. But putting it into play, and I think that you've asked a great question. It's like, well, how do I do this if I don't know how to do it and if I don't have the confidence? So I want to go back to the concept of the trusted advisor.
Yeah.
And this can be somebody within the organization. It can be somebody outside of the organization. It can be somebody who is just trusted. It could be a coach. Okay. To bounce some ideas off of and to be willing to be open and to share some of this information. And if someone's not willing to do that, then they may not be ready for a real leadership position yet. Because this is a key element. Because what someone needs to be able to do, if they really want to be a leader in your organization, they have to be able to create that compelling vision of the future for themselves, where they can see themselves in a leadership role. Excellent. And if people really can't yet go out and don't have the ability to seek a little bit of feedback, then there's nothing wrong with that. They may not be ready, okay, now or ever to be in a real leadership role. The world needs followers, right?
You're right.
Okay. So am I answering your question?
Absolutely, very clear.
Okay.
So you talked about the concept of a trusted advisor, and what it brought to mind was, in some cases, although you are a leader in title, you may not be a leader in your approach and your response. So as an employee, as a follower, following a leader, but with aspirations of being a leader, I've come across a number of individuals that have a leader or have a manager that isn't doing a great job of training and developing, or they feel like they're not getting that support from their manager. So I know you talked about coaching and you are a coach. So what are some other ways that an aspiring leader, there's someone that wants to move up into a leadership position that feels like their manager or their leader is not giving them that training or support. What are some other ways that they can find that trusted advisor that could potentially help them grow?
Okay. So let me see if I can condense this a little bit.
Sure.
And this happens all the time. Okay. I'm working in an organization. I have a manager, maybe not the greatest leader. I want to develop my leadership skills, and I'm not getting the support that I need, and I don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what we want to do. Let's take a step back. Okay. So what this person wants to do is they want to move up in the organization in all likelihood. They want a promotion, right?
Yeah.
So in the role that I had at Bayer, I was a human resources partner, and I managed our leadership development programs. So I would talk to people like this all the time. And I'm sure you've heard this, Rudy, and I'm sure people who are on the podcast have heard this concept also, that in order to move up, sometimes what we need to do is we need to move laterally. So I always opened up people's minds to the reality. And one of the definitions of a leader I heard years ago, and this one really stuck with me, a leader is someone who has the courage to define reality. So the role that I had often was I was the person who defined reality for this individual. Because sometimes the manager didn't have the heart or the courage to tell the individual, look, the way that we're organized right now, there are just no more opportunities to move up in the organization, okay, in this department. So my role then became, here's the reality of the situation. You want to move up, you want to be promoted, and you want to be promoted in this department. My role very often, Rudy, was, here's the reality. You have five people who are more skilled than you who also want to move up. Let's talk about your overall career and maybe move you around to gain experience in some other areas to increase your value to the organization.
I see. So the emphasis is on the lateral move. I know in many cases we have or there may be some employees that may be hesitant for fear of taking a step back. But it sounds like the emphasis is on looking to the left and to the right with the overall focus on being growing and getting to that leadership position. But in some cases, it sounds like you're saying make that lateral move to create more opportunities in the future. And that sounds like a great recommendation.
Yeah. That's one of them. And then the other one was sometimes I just had to get people to pull their heads out of their butt. Okay, to be very honest.
Yeah.
So I often had people say, well, I want to grow and develop and I want to take this course. But my manager keeps saying there's no money in the budget. Does this sound familiar, Rudy?
Very, yes.
Okay. So I would say, well, how important is this, developing this skill set, to you on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being the highest. Mm-hmm. Oh, Bob, it's a 10. Great. If it's that important to you, sign up for the course and pay for it out of your own pocket. Oh, no. I don't want to do that. I said, well, then what do you want? Well, I want the company to pay for it. Mm-hmm. I said, then if it's that important to you and you already know that there's no budget dollars for this course for you in this calendar year or maybe even next year, let's focus on helping you obtain the skills perhaps in another way, or finding a way for you to be able to afford to take this course. So again, Rudy, part of my role was I was the one who often had to define reality for the individual who wanted to move up. The other thing is, be a problem solver. Take on some special assignments and some special projects. Don't be the person who creates the problem, because some people, and you know what I mean, some people just love to do that. Mm-hmm. The really successful potential leaders, the ones that I love to work with, mm-hmm. here's the problem, but I want to dig into it, and I think I've got the solution. Managers and leaders like yourself, mm-hmm. don't you just love to work with people like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And okay. I think you're defining individuals that we term as like high potential staff, right?
Yes.
So how does one become a high potential staff if they aren't one currently?
Let me think about that for a second, and I may need to ask a few clarifying questions. Yeah. Okay. So what's happening now in a lot of organizations is that companies are now leaning towards developing and actively promoting and advertising corporate values and core competencies within organizations. So if somebody wants to get onto the high potential list, one of the things that they need to do is they need to find out, well, what are the corporate values and what are the core competencies of the organization? So these are the competencies that the company is saying, these are the competencies that we highly value. Having a discussion with the manager to find out, one, I want to make sure, am I moving in the right direction? And do I understand that these are the core competencies? And then finding out, how is it that I'm actually doing? What are my strengths? What are my development needs against these core competencies? That's one way to do it. Mm-hmm. Another way to do it is to talk to somebody in human resources. Okay, or to talk to the manager to find out, one, do we have succession plans in the organization? So now I'm going to tell people about some of the secrets within human resources.
Give it to us.
Okay. So in companies have big companies and some small mid-sized companies will have succession plans. These are the plans that are put together by leaders in the organization along with the head of HR. To identify, here are the individuals in the organization whom we have identified as future leaders who are now going to be on a succession plan, and we are going to invest and develop in these individuals to make sure that as opportunities arise in the organization, we have someone who's ready to step in to be the vice president of finance. Mm-hmm. Should the current vice president of finance either leave the company or be promoted to another organization? So companies have those plans. Now, here's one of the dirty little secrets. Okay. Most companies keep those plans under lock and key, and it's a deep, dark secret. Yeah. So if you, Rudy, went to your boss and said, you know, I was talking to one of my colleagues the other day, and we talked about the concept of a succession plan. Do we have a succession plan in our company? If you're a really good company, it could be, absolutely, we do have succession plans. And then your next question is,
can I see it?
Can I see it? And the answer will be, in all likelihood, no.
Yeah.
Because it's confidential.
Yeah.
Right? And also then you could say, well, could I ask, am I on a succession plan? Mm. Because I want to focus. But the skill here really isn't to be nosy about it. But it's to frame the question. And this is a skill set that I coach people on all the time. I do some career coaching, and I coach people to ask questions in a way where we frame it about why you want the information. So, for example, in this discussion that you may be having with the head of HR, it could be, I really want to make the strongest contribution that I can make to the organization, and I am committed to developing myself as a leader. I understand that we have some succession plans. I would love to know if I am on a succession plan, and what is it that I need to do in order to really develop my skills further? That becomes a very inviting way for the person who has the information to say, Rudy, I understand your interest, and I can let you know, yes, let's sit down and have a discussion with you and your manager because you are on a succession plan. It sounds like you're really interested in further developing. Let's meet. Or the answer could be that information is completely confidential, and we aren't able to share that information. And someone's going to say, I'm sure you understand.
And it sounds like with the way you phrased the question, the framing was amazing in that even if you're not on the succession plan, it sounds like it gives you an opportunity to still get that feedback you need to develop and grow as an employee.
Absolutely, because what you're doing is you're sending a very empowered message that you're not going to the department saying, I want you to develop me as a leader. What you're saying is, I want to become a leader. I want to make the best contribution I can to make to this organization. I'm very interested. And even if the information, even if the answer is no, sorry, Rudy, we can't share this information, the message that you've delivered and framed is to that person who you've just is, boy, this guy is really interested in being a leader. I want to keep that information in mind the next time we have our group meeting and we talk about succession planning.
Awesome. And okay? I think those conversations that leaders have about staff behind closed doors, you know, when defining those succession plans, it's conversations like this, the one that this employee just had with their supervisor or manager or director. That conversation is going to make it into that meeting to help that person, you know, grow even when they may not even realize that it did.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that's really important in the discussion that we're having now, if you notice in one of the questions we talked about earlier, is that when I worked with individuals and I had the magnificent job of working with high potential future leaders, one of the things that I noticed in working with the individuals who were truly high potential, they rarely focused on a promotion. They were focusing on development.
Growth.
It was always about, because I managed leadership developments specifically for high potential future leaders. And one of the reasons I loved working with this group is that they were starved for feedback. And these were millennials. These were people who were in their mid to late 20s, early 30s or so, with a completely different mindset. They were open to the fact that, okay, they did not have all the answers. They were starved for feedback. I remember having a discussion with somebody who went through the high potential future leader program that we had, and it was a 3-day event, and his results were every person received a report based on the core competencies that we had, and he didn't do well. You know, he performed poorly in the exercises, and I will always remember this and how highly he elevated himself in not only my eyes, but the eyes of the observer coaches that we had and other leaders in the organization. He was so grateful for the information. He said, I'm disappointed, but I understand it. I said, and this is only going to help me become a much more effective leader in the future. So, and go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you talked about this particular individual who did not perform well during that high potential development period. Mm-hmm. What are some of those challenges, or what is one challenge that a high potential, someone that's already been identified as a potential future leader within the organization, what are some of the challenges or a challenge that an individual like that needs to overcome before they make it to that leadership role?
Where do I begin? Bear with me for a second, because I can tie this back to the discussion that we actually had on emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is I want to introduce to the listeners of the podcast a concept that we discussed, and I mentioned the term derailers. And one of the things that I found over the course of my career, it was at Boston College and also at Bayer, working with high potential future leaders in organizations, was a lack of self-regulation. And that's one of the concepts, or self-management. And it's the ability to really control those disruptive emotions. People who lose their temper in meetings, lose their temper in one-on-one discussions, just cannot control their temper at times. And also, Rudy, we can talk about something that is also confidential. It's something that doesn't come up often, is that sometimes this lack of self-regulation shows up in the workplace where people may drink too much. They may start taking drugs. People within the workplace who may start having affairs. And what happens is it becomes one instance, and it becomes a major derailer for these individuals who are high potentials. But bottom line, the most important one is that lack of ability to actually manage their emotions. That's the biggest derailer.
So, Bob, we talked about high potentials, and I want to make sure we squeeze in a great deal of I want to make sure we squeeze in when that leader becomes a leader and is starting out in their new role. In growing into a leadership position, that growth continues when you get that promotion and you're in that VP position, that director position, or any position for that matter, that is a leadership role. What advice could you give to that new leader that might be struggling to set boundaries with individuals that were once their peers?
Oh, that is a great question, and it's something that I used to see all the time. So here is something that I would coach people to do. For example, people who were being developed to be high potential future leaders. And it's actually to practice being a leader before they get that promotion. So that as they move into the promotion, they have already developed the skills and the characteristics, maybe some of the executive presence of being a leader. The other thing I've coached people to do is, now is the time to sort of set some boundaries on favors that you may do for people, or understand that at some point in the near future, I may be this individual's manager. So maybe we don't go out to lunch every single day. Maybe we don't go out to the local watering hole all the time. But it's actually to start setting the boundaries and the thinking about those before you actually move into the role. That's one of the things that's absolutely essential. The other thing is, and this one is even more challenging, is that if you haven't done that, well, now you're in the role of being the leader or the manager. Now you're in the VP role.
Yeah.
And you may be managing people who were your peers and colleagues.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're getting to, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That becomes a bit more challenging. But the key to success is everything that we've been talking about today, is having that trusted advisor, becoming a trusted advisor, building trust in the organization, and focusing on being honest, demonstrating integrity, so that as you move into this new role, people already see you as a leader. And then there are some times when that new leader, when someone crosses the line and starts treating you as the old chum, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what you really want to drill down to,
yeah,
is to be able to have the courage and to be able to have that honest and authentic discussion with the individual. But going back to one of the things that we talked about already, Rudy, is framing it appropriately.
Absolutely.
So rather than saying, hey, look, we just can't be friends anymore because now I'm the vice president of finance and you are a director of finance. It's, I'd love to continue our relationship. I want to continue to be friends. I have a different role in the organization. I greatly value our friendship, but there are times when I am going to have to really be the vice president and make some decisions that we may not both agree on.
Okay.
But I want to, it's always concluding with, okay, with the value of the friendship and the relationship. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. It makes absolute sense. So, Bob.
Thank you.
In working with many leaders and seeing the different approaches that they take, I've seen some leaders that manage out of fear. I see leaders that manage out of working to gain just trust and respect.
Mm-hmm.
When working with high potential future leaders and seeing some of the leaders that you've helped develop, what are some approaches that you've seen the most success at?
The most successful transitions in moving into leadership roles and becoming that leader are the individuals who are honest, demonstrate integrity, build trust in the organization, and create an environment where people are empowered and want to collaborate. That to me is one of the things that I used to look for in high potential future leaders. Mm-hmm. Does this individual have the ability to create partnerships and to collaborate within the organization and across different departments so that we can all work together to achieve a common goal? Like a red flag for me was always, Rudy, someone who was out for themselves, out for their own department, and wanted to be highly successful, and it was really all about them. What I always looked for, and what what the other leaders looked for, are individuals who were willing to sacrifice something for the common good of the organization.
So as a leader myself, and I know I've come across a number of individuals like that, that you defined as out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me, Bob, about why that is a red flag.
Well, I'm going to talk to you as if you are a completely well-educated, brilliant person on leadership, Rudy, because I'm sure you're familiar with Stephen Covey's book, The Seven
Habits of Highly Effective
Seven Habits of Highly Effective Leaders, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So one of his principles is think win-win. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I look for, is that someone who is really wants to be an effective collaborator. Sometimes what you wind up with, and you can see it clearly in the organization, is someone who comes into it with a win-lose mentality. I want to win, and I want the other person to lose. Mm-hmm. That's not effective leadership.
So you mentioned Stephen Covey. And
yes,
his book, The Seven Habits, I believe it's The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People or Leaders.
Yes. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
People. So yes, other than that book, Bob, you know, mm-hmm, for our listeners out there that are looking for resources and tools that are going to help them to continue to craft and shape their leadership skills. What mm-hmm. other books would you recommend for them to help them to kind of grow as leaders?
There are three books that I recommend to everybody. So first of all, let me reframe my statement. When people ask me, well, Bob, what book can I read to become a more effective leader? Mm-hmm. I say, don't. There are no books that can help you. But I work with people who are already in leadership positions, for example, like yourself.
Yeah.
And I can tell, no, this person doesn't want to read a book to learn how to become a leader. This person's really looking for some information and is looking for a book to help sort of move the needle. So one book I always recommend is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. Because that doesn't just work on the person as a manager or a boss or a leader within an organization. This book covers the whole human being. The second book that I used this for years, and it's called The Leadership Challenge by Kouzes, K-O-U-Z-E-S, and Posner. And it's a magnificent book because what these guys did was they studied thousands of leaders, interviewed them, and then wrote a book about the common elements of their leadership challenges. And they wrote an entire book about the different stories that they heard and the commonalities. So it's based on research, and it's also very easy to read, and it makes sense.
Awesome.
There's a third book that I recommend, and it's by the Drucker Foundation, and it's called The Leader of the Future. And it is a series of essays. So I like to recommend it because it's nothing that you need to read from beginning to end. You can go through the book and you can look at the most interesting topics, and then you can pull out and find articles that meet your needs. So, for example, in this book that I'm looking at, there's a chapter on new skills for new leadership roles. So then there are dozens of other great books, but those are the books that I generally recommend for people who really want to move the needle forward.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Bob, you gave our listeners a lot of information today. You gave some awesome book recommendations. For the listeners, Bob recommended the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He recommended The Leadership Challenge, which is by Kouzes and Posner, and The Leader of the Future by the Drucker Foundation. So how does one, an aspiring leader that is interested in getting coached, reach out to you, Bob, if they're interested in working with you as a prospective coach?
Thank you very much. I appreciate your asking. Let me leave you my telephone number. I reside in Millis, Massachusetts, but I do 95% of my work over the phone. My phone number is 508-376-5563, or I can be reached via email at Bob O'Neill, B-O-B-O-N-E-I-L, 0831. @gmail.com, or somebody can look me up on LinkedIn under Bob O'Neill.
Excellent. So you heard it first, Bob O'Neill. Phone number once again is 508-376-5563. Email address is Bob O'Neill 0831. So that's B-O-B-O-N-E-I-L 0831 @gmail.com. And you can reach out to Bob on LinkedIn as well. For some amazing coaching, for some amazing just feedback on leadership development and growing and furthering your leadership skills. Bob, I want to say thank you so much on behalf of myself, Higher Learners, and the listeners of the Leadership Podcast Series. What other information or feedback do you want to leave our listeners with as we wrap up this call?
Thank you very much for asking. At a higher level, there are some questions that you should all be asking yourselves. And it's one is what we've already talked about, or what are my strengths? Okay. And to identify your strengths through a feedback analysis. And we talked a little bit about that. The other thing that people need to understand really is, how do I work and how do I work best? Do you work best with others? Do you work best alone? Do you work best when you're in a high stress situation? And one of the most important questions to ask, and this is where I focus a lot of my coaching, is what are my values? What matters most to me? What are my ethics? Okay. How do you see yourself as having the most important responsibilities? What becomes a worthy and ethical life? And by answering that question, okay, just asking that question and building on that question alone will help you to become a much more effective leader. So thank you very much for inviting me here, Rudy. I enjoyed it very much, and I'm be happy to come back at any time for you, my friend.
Bob, you are amazing. I thank you again. This was some awesome information, and I'm sure my listeners are going to get a lot out of this, and they'll definitely be in touch. I'm sure of it. So, Bob, thank you so much. I wish you the best. And with that said, I want to say thank you to the listeners. Thank you for downloading our podcast. Be on the lookout for our next episode. If you have any recommendations for our next show, don't hesitate to reach out to me at rracine@higherlearners.com. That's RRACINE at HIRELearners.com. Thanks again and have a great week.
You've been listening to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, defining success and putting minds to work with Rudy Racine. Rudy will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. To learn more, tune in every first and third Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. To download this podcast and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's HIRELearners.com.